I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and this time I am joined by Mr. Lance Laster. What's up, Lance?
What up, though?
What up, though, indeed. So we are in the same room again.
We are.
This will be the last time for a while. We'll see. Lance is in town celebrating his graduate degree. So well done, good sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So we are in studio talking about Obsession, one of our favorite episodes of Smallville Season 3. Now, Obsession by Calvin Klein. Right? Who doesn't think that after they hear the word Obsession anymore,
I think about
right?
that every time, honestly.
And 60% of the time it works.
Every time.
That doesn't make sense. So in Smallville, the official companion Season 3 by Paul Simpson, available wherever books are sold. Kristen Crick had this to say about the episode. Obsession was a great episode purely because you got to see sexual chemistry between two of the characters. I don't know that you get to see that much on Smallville. It's normally a romantic chemistry that was really about sex and revealing who you are. Now, that is a very interesting analysis, Kristen.
Yes.
What did you think of her take on that situation, Lance?
Well, she's not wrong, but it's just, I mean, knowing what we know now about certain things, it's just interesting to hear that that perspective. But she's not wrong.
Yeah. Well, what are you referring to?
The recent Smallville news.
Now, she left before it got weird. That's
correct.
What we understand. But anyway, I could not help but think that as
yes.
well. Reading that, you're like, what? But anyway, so that's what she had to say about it. Interesting. You know, she didn't really have a big role in this episode. She kind of had a weird subplot.
Yeah.
Which was kind of wedged in there, which actually gave Lex at least a couple scenes, because it wasn't for that subplot.
He wouldn't be
in
it. It would have
been one scene. So
exactly.
this was a classic episode of like, oh, by the way, Lex is in this episode. I believe it was like 21 minutes.
21
we
and a half.
It. We actually watched the episode together, which is a rarity, which
is
fun.
A rarity.
So yeah, we're like, oh, make a note.
Yep.
Lex is also in this episode. 21 and a half. Like, what is this? Season one?
It's like they forgot and they had to like just kind of shoehorn him in.
It was a great scene with him and Clark, though.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he's
sure.
Lex Luthor. He's Michael Rosenbaum. You got to get more time in that. But anyway, we'll get into all that. We'll unpack that. But also, Al Goff had this to say in The Companion. It's one of the few times where you bring in the guest star of the week to be the love interest and you really believe it. Tom and Sarah had great chemistry. We tried to do it with Kyra, the wolf girl, in Season 2 Skinwalker, but you didn't quite believe it. With this character, you did. Well, let me correct you there.
First of all,
Al, it's Kyla. I don't know if that's an editorial mistake in The Companion or if he literally just said Kyra. Anyway, it's all good. And that's true. Like, she was another romance of the week, and it was kind of forced, you know.
Yeah.
Another beautiful girl, but there wasn't like the whole chemistry there between her and Tom Welling. And you really did believe it here. Like, this was a great, you can see how just happy Clark is here. And you're
yes.
like, man, you're really rooting for this to work out, huh?
A little bit, yes. That's one of the reasons why I like the episode so much. But we'll get into that.
And then finally, Goff goes on to say, he describes it, the great male fantasy turned nightmare, the moment when your dad walks in, which is another classic. I know they use that in the trailer for this episode. You're like,
uh-huh.
Right? She's like, what's going on here? What's this girl all about? He goes on to say, you would completely believe that were Clark not in love with Lana, he could give it a whirl with her. That's why we decided to bring her back for Season 4, which was great. She's
yes.
one of the rare returning freaks of the week. And because she does, you know, spoiler, she just found out Clark's secret here. So whenever that happens, it's like, oh, is she going to? Is she going to die? Is she going to get amnesia? Where they send her to Belle Reve, you know, we'll see. But but she does come back, and Sarah Carter is a great guest actress. So let's talk about Sarah Carter for a second. What do you best know her from, Lance? Outside of Smallville, of course.
I know her from Hallmark Channel. I admit I am a sucker for Hallmark Channel original Christmas movies.
Yeah, 30-year-old African-American male, you are their target audience, my friend.
I'm really not. But see, the thing is, like, the way they hook you is that, like, they get, like their stars for these movies are people that, like, you see in other things. You're like, oh, they're doing this movie? Neat, I'll watch it. Dean Cain's doing a movie with Melissa Joan Hart? I'll check that out. Or Brandon Routh is in that movie with the cat, like, at Christmas time. Like, it gets me every time. So she's in one. It's called One Starry Christmas. It's not that good. Most of these movies aren't that good, but, like, I enjoy watching them at Christmas time. It's kind of like my holiday thing is when those things start. Anyway, so when I saw that she was in one, when I saw a commercial, when that one particular one aired, it was 2014, I believe. I, of course, you know, made a note to watch it. It's not that good, but it was cool to see her on screen again.
Now, before this episode of Smallville, she was in Wishmaster 3.
Okay.
She was in an episode of Dark Angel.
Hey, I love that show.
Let's see, what episode is she? A season 2, episode 5, Boo. Perhaps a Halloween episode, because it aired on November 2nd, 2001. Okay. So, she was also in K9 PI, which is a Jim Belushi movie with him and a dog.
Excellent. I see she was in an episode of
Undeclared.
Oh, yeah, I remember that show.
Also in Final Destination 2, and then
White Collar.
Well, then also, though, The Twilight Zone, the 2000s, when I don't remember that one. I will have to go back. I'm a Twilight Zone buff myself. I have an encyclopedic knowledge of the original series, decent knowledge of the UPN one from 2000 with Forest Whitaker, which I love Forest Whitaker, but what a terrible choice to host the Twilight Zone. And then a very just empty knowledge of the 80s show. But she was apparently in the episode of the 2000s revival. So that, and then I'm just looking at a guy here, like, era of Smallville right now. Mm-hmm. Boston Legal.
Oh, yeah. Hey! Oh, yeah!
Boston Legal. I'm not gonna lie. The only reason I watched it was for William Shatner at first, and I was like, "This is a great show."
Well, see, it started off. It was a spinoff of The Practice, which was a serious show about lawyers, and
Shatner was on and won Emmys for.
Yeah, it did.
Diddy Crane.
Name in the door. And then it just devolved into Boston Legal, which is like this like farcical comedy.
Well, it was a dramedy with emphasis on the comedy, and it's basically like, hey, were you famous in the 80s or you're going to be on this show?
Basically.
So they had Tom Selleck, Michael J. Fox's guest stars, you know. Candace Bergen was like the other lead.
She was. With James Spader before Spader. He did The Blacklist.
Yeah, before pre Blacklist, like, you know, in shape James Spader.
Yep.
Like, he turned into like an egg, man. I'm like, get in shape, James. I mean, come on, man. Like, I know you can just sit there and voice Ultron and make millions of dollars, but is he that guy's father on the black or that girl's father on the Blacklist?
Of course,
like
he
a
is.
Big twist or
yeah.
whatever.
That wasn't a twist.
I mean, it was like, we all know this is coming.
Like,
right?
Episode but, one.
Oh, really? Okay, I never saw it.
No, well, it's so obvious. I'll only work with Elizabeth Keane.
Anyway, but that was a great show.
Yeah.
Good times, Boston Legal. But so anyway, she was also in Entourage in an episode.
Okay.
And like you were saying, what you were more looking at what White Collar, so like more closer to now. Okay, she was in an episode of White Collar, I see.
Hawaii 5-0 for a couple of years.
Hawaii 5-0. Oh, wow. Okay, so she must have been a main character in Falling Skies, because she was in 50 episodes. I'm going to assume she was. We're just looking at IMDb here, people. Mm-hmm. Spoilers. We don't have this in kind of cyclopedic memory.
She's in The Vow with Rachel McAdams.
Interesting. So anyway, and she's in 4 episodes of Hawaii 5-0. Wow, last one was a year ago, so maybe she'll...
Okay.
Oh, wow, she was in episode Kala Kamiki... Whatever that song is from Christmas Vacation.
Melikalikimaka.
There's an episode title of that, and that's the episode she said.
Melikalikimaka is the thing to say on the bright Hawaiian Christmas Day.
Anyway, so she's had a decent career.
Yeah.
You know, great actress. You know, beautiful woman. So yeah. you can see where she would go on to success. But yeah, she's the main attraction here for sure.
Oh yeah.
And she comes back in season 4, and I would be great to see her more, but you know.
Yeah.
But we don't after
we
that.
Don't.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that next year.
Yep.
Yeah, next season. Actually will be next year
it
in my
will
schedule.
Be. Yep.
But hey. Anyway. so, you know, before we jump into the episode proper here, I do want to talk about when this episode aired. And this was on I usually save this for the intro, but of the episode, but we're going to talk about it here because it's relevant. It aired on February 18th, 2004. So this is when Smallville was coming out on Wednesdays, right? That's why the podcast is released on Wednesdays now. And then we'll move to Thursdays in season 5 and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And then Fridays.
And Fridays.
We're like, oh, this thing's over. Oh, it's back.
Yep.
So Smallville gets the Friday night death slot, gets renewed for 2 more years. I love it. Do you know what came out that Friday, Lance, on February 20th, 2004?
No.
Really? Scotty doesn't know.
Scotty doesn't know.
The best celebrity cameo.
Oh, yes.
Actually, two of them.
Yes, really. It is two of them.
Matt Damon, the king of celebrity cameos, yes. In Eurotrip.
Singing with Luster at the party.
Kristen Crick.
It's Fiona.
Yeah, the girlfriend of the main character in Eurotrip, who has been having an affair
with Matt Damon.
Who is like, I want to say like skinheaded out in this, right? He's unrecognizable. And I got to credit Matt Damon. Like he really is the king of the celebrity cameo. Isn't he? Like this, Interstellar. I mean, he's just
Finding
like,
Forrester.
Yeah. Yeah, it's from, I forgot he was in Finding Forrester.
Finding Forrester.
To be written by Jamal Wallace.
Punch the key. For God's sake.
He didn't write them. I did. Jamal Wallace did. I didn't write them. Jamal. God. That's the greatest. Well, yeah, that's the greatest Sean Connery movie of all time.
Probably.
In his later years. It's out of that or League of an Extraordinary Gentleman.
Oh, no. Finding Forrester is
way
better.
Had he just retired then, that would have been. That's the perfect movie to go on.
I agree.
And then he did League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. To his credit after that, he's like, you know what? I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm done tarnishing my legacy.
Yeah.
just rewind his 3 years and watch this instead. Anyway, I had to point that out because Kristen Kirk, right? I mean, when the stars were in Smallville, you didn't see him in a lot of other stuff because, you know, this main character of the show. I mean, that's a big reason Rosenbaum left. He's like, look, man.
I want to do other stuff.
Tired of shaving my head. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of just being up here in Canada for 7 years. Welling did, you know, Cheaper by a Dozen. He did Fog. Fog is BS. Don't go see the Fog.
Don't do it.
Sam Jones was in Glory Road.
Yeah.
But that's after he left, I guess.
It was.
So you really didn't see, and I'm sure like, you know, John Glover was probably doing like Broadway and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, when you're in the main characters, you're in, you know, 22 episodes or, you know, give or take. Yeah. You don't have time for a lot of stuff. So, you know, it was just the one scene there, but it was so not Lana. It was like Nicodemus Lana.
Right? It was Nicodemus Lana. That's basically the best way to characterize the character of Fiona in Eurotrip, which is an all time favorite movie of mine. Cause like, that summer, because I graduated 04, so that's like all me and our friends, like that's all we watched was that and Old School. Mm-hmm. That summer.
And you were still watching it a year later when I graduated.
That's correct.
And you're like, yeah, let's watch Eurotrip.
That's correct.
Because the guy who was the brother, who was the history, the guy,
yeah,
he looked exactly like one of our history teachers.
Yes,
like,
he did.
Exactly like
him. Spitting image.
It was the perfect celebrity doppelganger. So anyway, so good memories for Eurotrip.
Yep.
If you haven't seen Eurotrip.
And Harriet the Spy's in it
from Nickelodeon. I just remember her as a little girl from Pete and Pete who had the crush on the younger Pete.
That's
and then
right.
Got her own spin. Was Harriet the Spy a show or was it just a movie?
I can't remember.
No, she spun her off into a movie, the Nickelodeon movie, like Snow Day with Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
God's sake. So anyway, Eurotrip, it's all connected. But anyway, so that came out the weekend of this episode.
That's amazing.
So what a trashy week for Smallville.
Yes.
I talk about season four being trashy. Let's make no mistake. This was like pure like CW. Like,
oh yeah.
Like obsession. This Wednesday on Smallville. Like they show like the scene where they're making out on the bed and all that. And it's like, okay, I see. But hey, I mean, it's a CW show. And but to be fair, this episode, I think it all worked. It could have been really been a bad exploitive.
It really could have.
Yeah. But I don't think it was.
I agree.
Good morning, gorgeous.
Alicia, look, we need to talk.
What's wrong?
Last night in my room and these pictures.
Don't you like them?
No, I do. It's just, I just think we might be moving a little too fast.
You said you had a great time last night. You kissed me.
No, I did. And I did. I just think that, maybe we need to set some boundaries, you know, maybe some limitations.
We're special, Clark. People like us don't have boundaries and limitations. We'll see you later, sweetie.
Yeah.
I'll be thinking about you.
Obsession is the 14th episode of Smallville's third season. It aired on February 18th, 2004. It was written by Holly Harold and directed by James Marshall. So this episode starts out with a establishing shot of Luther Corp, the one you will see forever.
For the rest of the show, for the rest of time.
I really don't think they change it ever. Maybe,
really don't.
Well, okay.
We get thrown like a bone here and there. Like
every now and then
it's
like a new CGI one, right? It's like with the Daily Planet in or something. But like, come on, guys. Like it really got to, because it started in season two and that's fine.
Yeah.
And I don't count that as stock footage, people. Like the for my stock footage count or whatever like that I do on the YouTube. Because I just don't have that kind of time, but it would be funny to know how many times they use it. I'm sure someone knows.
I'm sure it's a lot.
But so is the advanced economics class is on a field trip to Luther Corp.
Yeah, which is like, wait, they take econ at that
well,
point.
I'm gonna give you know I know I'm Mr. Stickler about when things happen in high school. We took it senior year. They're juniors.
Ah, okay.
This is true. Their second semester. Well, no, Christmas actually looks. Even though the episode came out in February, there's like Christmas stuff all around.
There is.
So it must have taken place in December. So.
Ish. Yeah, probably.
So they took, I don't know.
We'll see. Well, you know, I'd take it back because I took it as a junior in the summer.
Ah. Well, anyway, they're on this field trip, which is funny. They take so many field trips in this town.
They do.
So you're telling me they took a 3-hour bus ride to Metropolis?
Yeah, and it was definitely a yellow dog bus. It was not like a charter bus.
Well, you know, it's cold outside. It's not so bad, right? But that's great. They went to, let's see, how many field trips? Should a field trip count on this show? Maybe should. No, well, what this we're almost done with high school. It's
exactly.
Not worth it. So we'll just talk about it real quick. They go to Luther Corp in season one for Jitters.
Mm-hmm.
One. They go to the bridge in Leech. Like, they go rock climbing, geocaching. I don't know. And then, I don't think they take any field trips in season two, do they? Let's think.
I don't think so.
Yeah. They're pretty light on school in season two.
Well, they're kind of light on school in general.
Well, other than heat. But
where they actually show them in a classroom.
Speaking of trashy, man, I like the show for all the wrong reasons. and this is the field trip to Luther Corp. I don't think there's any other field trips. So that would be a waste.
Yeah.
Much like Lana Kills is a waste of a category. Isn't that right, Matt Truex? I'm waiting for her to kill someone else. No, I know you're listening. You'll like that shout out. But anyway, still waiting for Lana to kill someone else, Matt.
Whatever. I think that's a fun one, Matt.
It is fun. But when there's only one.
We got to just got to be patient.
Stay
the course.
Season 7. And she like gets Lionel in a bear trap.
Yeah, just.
What? Anyway, well, speaking of Lionel, he shows up and he's giving this really schmaltzy speech about economics, right?
Yeah, and it's just like I love Chloe just like rolling her eyes the entire time. It's just like, I don't believe any of this. And especially because like she knows what's up and everybody else is like buying it. They're clapping for him at the end.
Queen of the reaction shots is Allison Mack here because her and Clark are like, oh, are you kidding? Because he's just this like a motivational speaker BS. That is what Lionel is spitting here.
100%. Right? And I love how he's like, "Is there a question?" And then like,
because he overhears Chloe like talking crap. And he's like, "Oh, excuse me, is there a question?" No, okay. great, right? And then he leaves, and then for like the other 90% of the episode, I was like, "Oh, I guess that was Lionel's one scene," but he comes back there.
He does.
We'll talk about that. I was like, "Okay, so check." John Glover got his scene in. Pete will get his one scene in later.
Filling out the quotas, checking the boxes.
But during this, we see this girl. Who was like Lionel singles out. He's like, that's right, you. Because I mean, she looks a little more professional.
Yes.
You can tell this girl is like, it's like, I'm glad they address this a little later, but you can tell like, oh, she's one of those, right?
Yeah.
And she kind of comes off as a snob, or at least that's what they're kind of going for. I took that because she's dressed like an adult, and everyone else is dressed like kids.
Well, he's profiling her,
right? Well, of course, but yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like even though Tom Welling is 30 years old, he dresses like he's a flannel and stuff, right? Even Chloe and Lana dress like in these goofy stuff.
Yeah.
But she's like, I'm a professional woman. Like, if you told me she was 30, like, and working at the Daily Planet, I'd be like, okay, yeah. So anyway, that's all I'm saying, right? But then, you know, Chloe and Clark are like talking crap, and the teacher's like, I'm going to break up this fan club, which is, take the next elevator, Mr. Kid. I'm like, really? You're going to leave your, okay, like, minor, just ungirded there?
Whatever.
It's just, it's a you know, set up for the next scene.
Oh, of course.
It's a contrivance, a major contrivance. And for some reason, Alicia's hanging back for some reason. So they all go down the elevator, and then Clark and Alicia are just sitting there waiting on the elevator, and this is a very funny scene.
Oh, yeah, and he's just like, elevators. And he's like hearkening back to Lionel's little speech about supply and demand, and it makes a really corny joke.
It's a good line. He's like, high demand, not enough supply.
Yeah,
like,
she just kind of and she kind of looks at him just like, should I laugh at this, or no, I'm just going to
Do I know you?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, because this is one of these. This is a Trevor, as I've mentioned before. This is a Trevor. Alicia is a Trevor. Okay, she's like, who? Oh yeah, Alicia. Yeah, yep. It's like, really? But so they're awkwardly waiting on this elevator. Finally comes to get in, and they go. Okay. Oh, by the way, they're on the what? 39th floor. 39. Okay. And there's only a down button.
Yes.
So that means they're on the top floor of Luther Corp.
That's correct.
So we've seen how high Luther Corp is. Mm-hmm. Is that realistic? You think that's really the third? You think they did the math wrong on that? What do you think?
I think so. I think it's a little higher.
Yeah, because, I mean, if there's no up, that means Lionel's office or whatever is on the
39th floor. Yeah, because...
Oh, wait. When... Oh, we got him. I don't know the number. But when Morgan Edge hires Clark to break in and mm-hmm. exile, he's like, what? Isn't he like the 60th floor?
Yeah, that's right. Like,
we got you, Smallville. We got Hey-o. You. Got you, Holly Harold. No, you're, I mean, look, you're not a staff writer, I don't think, so that's fine. to not know all the details. But, hey, by the way, I do love this episode. So,
yes.
You know, so I'm not hating on you. I'm just saying, we got you, Smallville. So they just put a digital 60 up there. So
something.
I don't know. Or have a button, where, you know, maybe the elevator they had access to only had the down button.
Maybe.
And that's their mistake. Like, ah, well, what are we going to do?
Maybe.
What loser is going to sit here and talk about this in 10 years, right? We are.
Yep.
So they go into the elevator. And then, like, 10 seconds later, the elevator's like... Right,
there's turbulence, yeah.
Yeah, and so it starts this free fall, and they're like, oh my God. So Clark, like, he's looking around, and look, Clark, you got me back, Sherry. You got me back. As critical as I was about the top floor, he has the presence of mind to heat vision security camera.
Yes, he does, which is like a good move. It's like, you know what? Clark Kent using his brain, because mm-hmm. sometimes that does not happen on this show and with Superman in general. So good for them.
Absolutely. And then he reaches through the wall, punches through the wall, I should mm-hmm. say. And then this is really cool.
It was.
Way to stop an elevator when you're Superman, right? You come through the wall and then you grab the side, you know, yeah. of the wall or the rail and slows it down and stops it. And he's holding it there. And then
because it's still falling.
Right. It's still falling. So he's holding there, but then they start
using the jaws of life to open it up.
And Clark's like kind of freaking out because he's like, Alicia's like, what did you do? And he's like, don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
And then if they come in there and they see him holding it, they're going to know a secret.
Yes.
Right? So he's like, So what Alicia does, she grabs him, and then they teleport away.
Yeah.
So Alicia's Nightcrawler, by the way.
Yes.
That's the other counter I should have made. X-Men.
X-Men powers.
Because we have Nightcrawler. Alicia's Nightcrawler, because she, as she explains later, she can teleport anywhere and then take whatever she's touching that she wants to take with her.
Yeah.
So those are her powers. And then, you know, then when they leave, Clark's obviously his arm is gone, and then the elevator free falls to the bottom. And the rest of the class who took the elevator down
first,
they're like coming down the stairs.
Coming down some stairs. So I don't know where they got
off.
Maybe
they're going to like the fifth floor. I don't know.
Maybe.
Right?
Who knows?
Then they're like, oh my God. And then Clark is like, yeah, it fell right after we got out. Crazy, huh? And then Alicia's like, thank you. All right. So Clark's like, all right. So this is interesting getting. Now, I do want to say this. I think this is a major missed opportunity here, and I don't know if they even thought about this or not, but I feel like, obviously, this is a fluke accident.
Right? Mm-hmm.
But I think they should have done is that Lionel do this on purpose, because obviously there's a security camera in there. It's like, oh, look, Clark's in there. I think he's like, it's like Dr. Claw.
But yeah.
Just pushing buttons at some machine. Like Michael Jackson. So... So I think he should have caused the, or his henchmen or whatever,
yeah,
right?
That's a good idea.
There should have been like a scene. Well, there was another awesome scene at the end, so that's fine.
Yeah.
I understand why we didn't do that. If that awesome Lionel scene at the end of the episode wasn't there, I definitely would have said it should have been like with him looking at the tape and then seeing like the security camera go out.
Yeah.
Right? Because that would have been a payoff.
That would have been.
To Clark destroying the camera. I think that would have been really smart. It's just one of those little missed opportunities. Like, they could have done something a little more with that. But they actually, with that Adam subplot, they had like, a lot too much going on with that at the end of this episode, and they didn't really have enough wrap up of this. So anyway, that would have been cool. But anyway, so that's the thing. They each know each other's secret now. They're going to keep it. We go to the main critics. We come back, and we are, where are we?
We are at Smallville High School.
Walking to school.
Yeah. Well, like, I don't know. I guess from a drop-off point, maybe, perhaps. You know, that's what it seemed like to me. It seemed like they were close enough to the school, and it was snowing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like, you know, what day is it? What time is it? But we actually do get to find out later in the episode what day, like, close to what day it is, probably.
Okay, but see, that's confusing. You know, like I mentioned the Christmas lights and stuff. So people
still have their stuff up. That's common.
In February?
That's common.
Or last, at least the last week of January.
Yeah.
January 22nd.
Anyway, exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, Clark and Alicia, they're walking to school, and when she's like, thanks for telling me your secret. And he's like, is that what it takes to be your friend?
Yeah.
So it's interesting because he's like.
It's an interesting dynamic between the two of them.
Yeah.
Back there.
Because obviously they're like feeling each other out. And like, hey, cool. We both have powers. This is cool.
Yeah. And it's like you like they're developing their rapport and she's letting her guard down a little bit. And Clark is, you know, his is down, but he still has his is down, but not as much as hers is because he's dealt with this for longer.
And she mentions, like, I know people think I'm snobbish. Or
yeah,
whatever,
and stuck up.
But she explains, like, look, my parents are very overprotective of me. And you're like, were they?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And we can talk about why she's crazy later. I think her parents might be kind of to blame for this.
A little bit.
But, I mean, she's like, yeah, you know, I figure it's easier not to get involved with people. And, you know, because it's just, you know, I like this one guy once. And later on, she's that, right? People get close, then get freaked out and all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
And these are all things and fears that Clark has had.
Right, and these are all, like the best, like, freaks of the weeks, right? They're all mirrors of Clark, right? Because people, you know, like, the best, like, Batman villains are, like, mirrors of Batman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the best Smallville villains are, you know, at this point in Superman's career, mirrors of his struggles, you know, because he runs into these freaks of the week, and they're like, oh, people didn't understand me or accept me or whatever, and that's what he's afraid of.
Yeah.
So they really do connect on that level. And he opens the door for her going into school. She's like, thank you.
Yep.
So, and then, you know, he's, and you really can tell he's starting to like get into it. Cause he's like, he just looks so happy. And he's smiling all that.
He was like, it was like to quote High School Musical, but it seems appropriate. It's the start of something new for him, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, he's into it and she's into it also. So it's like, it's this whole like, you know, young love thing that like only a time that only happens like when you're in high school and you don't have like you're not bogged down by, you know, the real world yet, but you can be that like, you know, ecstatic
puppy
about
love.
Something new. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because then he's like just asked her about her powers work and she explains some of that, and then she's like, it's really complicated, and he's like, well, try me, and then she's like, yeah, and well, she says what I said earlier. She's like, yeah, I can teleport and take things I want with me. I'm like, well, that doesn't seem very scientific. But I guess you dumbed it down for him.
Yes.
But you need to. But then she goes off
they're late for class.
Yeah, but they're always like, what is with, like, we had like a warning bell, didn't we?
We did not.
No, I think we did in high school. It was like a 60-second, like, ding, ding, right?
We did not. See, when I was a teacher, there was a warning, but... Because, you know, that's just how things are.
I feel
now,
like we have a, like a 30-second warning or something.
Not.
I'm pretty sure we did.
It was just, that's it.
I'm pretty sure we did.
I don't think we did.
Well, let's go to the tape.
But, I don't know if we can.
Yeah, every conversation. It happens multiple times. Though,
yes.
So they're in the hallway. I'm like, so are all these people late? What
Apparently.
Is this, right? Yeah, so Clark is happy. You know, we're having a good mood.
Yep.
We cut to Lana. I'm like,
of course.
And she's gone into Adam's apartment. And then it immediately starts going through all this stuff.
And she is into it. Like, if you look at the intensity on her face, like, it's like she is really into finding out what's going on.
Yeah, because she's all about finding out people's secrets. And she's
going
to find this out. Now, easy to laugh at this. Like, hey, this is, can't leave a girl alone in your place. She's going to go through all her stuff. Right? Easy, low-hanging fruit jokes on that.
Yes.
But we're not going to go there because Adam, like, really threatened her last
That's
week,
correct.
The last couple weeks, right? And so she's like, okay, I need to figure out what's up with this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, so he's not here. I own this place.
Yes.
So I'm going to, you know, go through all this stuff. But yeah, she really is digging through everything. It was very intent, as you said. And what did she find?
And she finds a journal. And she starts flipping through the journal.
Which we will take a screenshot of and post.
Yes, because it's very interesting. But like, the coolest part about it, honestly, is that there's dates on it. Mm-hmm. So he can know what's going on.
So it's like January 21st or something like
22nd,
that?
24th, and 25th, I believe.
And it's like, Clark always around. This seems to agitate Lana. Or mm-hmm. It's like, have tried being less aggressive with Lana. This seems to be more success. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
no what? Joke.
Like...
way to go, genius. You're supposed to be smart, Batman.
Yeah, Batman keeping his journal. Yeah, Batman keeps journals, you know. Yeah.
It was a red leather book.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, so I didn't realize the longest time that there's like Batman Forever is one of these other famous, before they started reshooting movies entirely like they do now.
Yes.
Batman Forever, it was restructured in post-production, and that's why like the beginning of the movie is like a completely different order than the rest. And there was a subplot with this red book from Batman Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually really smart, and I really wish they would like make Joel Schumacher director's cut, if you will, right?
Yeah.
About this, because Forever gets thrown in Batman and Robin unfairly so.
It does.
Because when I was a kid, it was my favorite one of the three.
Yeah, same.
So... there's a subplot, and he half of it's still in the movie, but it's unresolved. It makes it weird because, like, he's like, I'm at my father's funeral, and I found his journal. He wrote a bit every day, and he wrote in it every day of his life. And now the pages are empty, and I grab his journal, and I run into the to the field and like fall through a hole and it's a pass. I am vengeance. I am the knight. Right. So, but there's a follow up to that or an extended part of that where he blames himself for his parents' murder because for his whole life he turned to that page and he saw that it's like Bruce insists on the mark of Zorro, so we're going to the movie. And he's like, oh, if I hadn't insisted on going to the movie, my parents would still be alive. And that's the guilt he carries around as Batman.
Yeah.
And then he comes to terms with that at the end. That's he's like, I'm both Bruce Wayne and Batman. Mm-hmm. Not because I have to be now, because I choose to be. It's a good line. Bum, 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 bum. But Elliot Goldenthal, what are you thinking? Anyway... he finds when he gets amnesia, amnesia count, right?
Yeah.
He gets amnesia first, and then he goes back into the cave and finds the book, right? He opens it up. He said, these two pages stuck together, where it's like they open it up the pages are stuck together, and he had misunderstood because it's like Bruce insists on a movie, but Martha and I are set on Zorro, so Bruce will have to wait for another time. He realizes, his parents are going to go.
Yeah.
And they were going to go regardless, and it wasn't my fault. And so an interesting subplot to kind of address some Batman guilt. And, you know, and especially, and this is why I love the Tim Burton movies. There's zero character development for Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting because he's like the strong, silent type.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actually delves into his psychology and does what he does and whatever. So anyway. Batman is also writing journals in Smallville.
That's correct.
And also, like Batman, he shows up out of nowhere.
He does. And like, also, like how one of the things in the journal is like, you know, Lana's starting to question my martial arts abilities. Yes, and yes. I was like, yes.
That's such a funny way to say
Hashtag Arkham Adam Knight.
So, yeah, we'll take a screenshot of that. Something else we're going to take a screenshot of, too, I thought. What was it? It was the journal.
The yearbook later.
The yearbook, yes. There's a yearbook page with Lana in it. Anyway. He's like, what are you doing? You know,
yeah, he just shows up.
He really does look like Bruce Wayne.
He really does, like, cause the way he's dressed and like you know, and like just how he's carrying himself. It's just like, yeah, like it's like it's full on. Like this kid is Bruce Wayne here. Mm-hmm. Like, come on.
So this is a very short scene, but Adam basically just says, "Hey,
I'm not going anywhere."
Yeah, he's like, you better check your eviction laws or whatever. She's like, I want you out again, Lana. I get you're vulnerable and you were hurt and all that, but don't let this guy come live with you.
Yes.
Like, and she's, you know, she's paying for it. So anyway, but I do like how assertive and proactive she's being here. Like, this is, she has grown as a character from like season one, Lana.
Oh yeah, for sure.
She's getting sick of this BS she's putting on with these people.
I would too.
Of course, then she goes to Jason D, Lex. Well, so she that's, keeps making that's inappropriate. The same mistakes. Highly inappropriate. So yeah, again, how old is Adam Knight supposed to be? And this confirms it. So they're like enemies now.
Yeah.
They never kissed this whole time.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Like, I thought like at some point maybe they did, but they didn't. Like, they weren't even, again, they never defined the relationship. It's very important.
It is. You got to DTR, everybody. DTR.
So what is next, Lance? Where do we go from here?
So after that, we cut to Clark coming into the Spencer's Gifts store inside of Smallville High School.
Everything you see like in a Star Trek lab, you know? Is here like the glowing ball, the weird thing. I don't understand. It's the physics lab.
Yeah,
it actually looks like what I assume was the computer lab and a couple episodes ago when Chloe caught Adam doing drugs.
Yeah.
I guess it was this. So
it's like these like little like plastic lights and stuff. It's just like, what is
no
this?
We've never seen the inside of a real classroom at Smallville High School. It's always the newspaper, the pool, the gym, the shop class, the physics class, the biology class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've never seen
a traditional, like they're not in English.
They've talked about this because it's like, yeah, you want to see Tom Welling squeeze into a little desk?
Yeah.
Like, no, you don't. So she's like, oh, teleporting girl, physics lab. I guess that's how you found me. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. That's just stupid.
Yeah.
But he basically is like, hey, so you want to like get together and study for the econ test? And she's like, are you asking me on a date?
And he's like, well, not that I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And he's like, but he's like stumbling because like, I mean, yeah, he was, but like she called him out on it.
I mean, you know, I've done that before. You know,
wait,
I mean,
same.
I mean, it's the best. It's the best. I was very proud of this story in particular. I, you know, asked him to do something. You know, like it's like it's his friends or a date. And I was like, no, either. Which is a weird, response, I guess. When you're in the moment, you just say what's top of your mind. So anyway, that went well. So anyway. It's cute to see him stumble through this stuff.
Because, the whole scene was kind of cute.
Because the thing with like Kyla in season two was like, it was like, oh, well, you're the girl in the painting. And the da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I guess, you know. But this was like, this is another person, and yes, they have the power connection, but they're also kind of cute, and you know, and with Chloe, they went down that road, and Lana, so it was like nobody left around. Yeah. So like, this is nice. It's refreshing.
It is.
Because we've seen so much of so much angst in this show, and that's people's big complaint. It's very refreshing to see this. And they're both like, you know, having a good time.
Yeah.
So it's a date.
It is. She asks him out. Because
aggressive.
Well, she like sees where it's going, and like I like how she just kind of takes charge of the situation. She's like, Clark, would you like to go on a date with me? Mm-hmm. And like he just gets this, you know, really big grin, and then he walks out of the lab, you know, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt in 500 Days of Summer. You make my dreams come true.
And then the breaks.
Lana shows up to ruin the mood.
I think we're both like, ah, we saw Lana. It's like, why did she have to throw in the corner to be right there? It was funny though.
It was
just like in 500 Days of Summer, where like the elevator doors close. Yep. Yep, pull the plug on that happiness. So she basically tells him that that Adam has been keeping a journal about both of them, and
yeah, she's just giving him the heads up. Mm-hmm.
But then you know it was funny because like not funny, interesting though, because he's been out of his loop the whole time because he's like, I'm an Adam free zone. Lana's a grown up. She's a Lana grown up. Lana's her own person. She can do what she wants, right? Yeah,
He's staying out of it. He's trying to keep his promise.
Right. So good for him. But that was just a contrivance of like, okay, because if they would have told him what was going on like 3 weeks ago, he would have solved this problem.
Of course.
But it's fine. It makes sense.
Yeah. And then she also like, you know, before she even delves into that, she comments on how happy he looks.
Oh, I haven't seen that happy in a while. I'm like, yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because I've been staying away from you. Because you asked me to.
That's right. Stay away from Lana.
Stay away from Lana. My favorite radio station. And then Alicia comes by. She's like, see at 7? Hey, Lana. I'm like, oh, this is how a girl's going to be, right? These are high school. Let's not forget, even though they look 30, they're high school girls.
They're in high school, and that would happen.
That totally would happen. So, and actually, you know.
He's like, we're in econ together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she just looks at him and like, mm-hmm, uh-huh, yeah.
Why does he make these excuses? You know, or it's like you try to be like you're trying to play the feel, right? You're like, yeah, you know, we're friends. You know,
yeah.
It's just like, see, Clark, no, that should be empowered. Yeah, we're going on a date. So what? We can do about
exactly. Lana?
What about your new roommate?
I know,
what's
right?
What's going on there with Adam? Right. But yeah, that was a nice little catty moment between them, and establishes that she's like knows. Because everybody knows.
Well, I mean, they talk. Like, people in schools talk, so, like, things go around.
Well, it is funny when all these randoms like, look, Clark, you had your chance with Lana. It's like, what do you people, I want to see, so curious to, like, there's an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. It's called The Lower Decks in season 7. And so it's, like, the non-main characters.
I love that episode.
It's a very refreshing episode, especially in the 7th season, because you're, like, you don't get to go into the conference room, or you don't know what's going on. You're just the guy piloting the ship. And then they get together and like, what do you think's going on? Like, I would love an episode like that of Smallville
where it's like,
what's up with Clark and Lana? Like, he showed up on this motorcycle the other day.
Yeah.
Where'd he go last summer? Yeah.
Well, see, and what's really funny about that is because like when we were in high school, we were those people. Yeah. That's what's funny about that. We were always like, what's going on with this?
Anyway, that's so she leaves, and then is this when we get the song starts going like, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Is there date the next scene?
It is.
And it's One Thing by Finger 11. And this is a great song. Trade it
off. Yeah. Well, see, that's at the end of their date. Wouldn't
that be something? that's at the end.
Yeah, that's at the end of their date. But yeah, because
I forget. Sometimes they start these songs so early.
They do, but yeah. But this one happens at the end when he's driving her home. But before that, though,
right,
telescope,
right?
You know, they're looking up at the stars, and Clark's like, "Oh well, I thought I was the only one that was into astronomy." It's like, "No, genius. Like it's not just a boy."
He's
thing.
Like, "I'm a science nerd." He's like, "Well, you don't look like one."
Clark. It's like, okay, whatever.
But yes, they have a cute moment with the telescope, just like he did with Kylo, by the way.
Yeah,
what's
right?
His telescope?
Lana too.
Lana, yeah, from his end.
Yeah.
You can see my house from here, really?
Yeah. Oops.
Oh man, but
yeah. But however, this is where Alicia, like, you know, kudos to her for being observant, because they already established that she's smart, and so. But like here, they like show where she's observant because she asks him about. She's like, "So what else can you do?" And Clark's like,
And she's like, "Yeah, well, you somehow blew up the camera in
the elevator," mm-hmm. And he's like, "Oh, well, you know, I have heat vision." Yeah. So yeah,
I call it heat vision. Yeah, it's so, my power and color I want. Was that season 8, 9, yeah. 10? No, mm-hmm. He's talking to Lois. So it must be season 10. He's talking about microvision.
I think so. Yeah,
she's like, microvision. It's my power and color I want. But yeah, so they're like kind of establishing their strengths and weaknesses, yeah. or at least other abilities. You know?
Well, she's trying to find out more about him, mm-hmm. and oh, it's yeah. and it's like it's it, this is the start of that little rabbit hole she goes down. But
this is a typical first date talk. So, what superpowers do you have? You
know? Exactly.
So it goes on, and then they he takes her home.
Yeah,
you know?
And he's also like. Unfortunately, he talks about Lana way too much. Oh,
yes. Yeah. It's like, do not talk about it. And they, yeah, because this is when they also talk about, like, is she, oh, because she has, does Lana know your secret?
Yeah.
Like, no, I never told her. And she's like, yeah, there was a guy that, like, once didn't end well. Or I told him, or his dad says that later. Her dad says that later. But he's like, I told him and he freaked out. And you're like, I wonder what happened to that guy. But,
you find out, sort of. But yeah, so it's just like I wrote in my notes. It's like, Clark, you should not be talking about Lana on your date with another girl,
especially when she already knows. Like it's like what a step. Like it's different when you're like, oh yeah, so I had an ex, blah blah. You know, maybe just in case. But don't be like, hey, you know that girl that you know you talked to earlier today, who you know that I dated for like 2 years and we're in love with each other.
Yeah.
Let me talk about her. Mm-hmm. Like, no, do not do that.
Yeah.
So life lessons from Smallville, guys. So, but yeah, this is when he takes her home. This is when we start hearing the song.
Yeah.
And then they start talking about their weaknesses or whatever. You know, and she's like, yeah, my parents are kind of overprotective. They used to keep me in a, or they used to try and stop me, from using my powers. And he's like, how'd they do that? And she's like, I'd rather not talk about it. I'm like, that's, she's smart.
She
really is smart. but then they get up to the door and they're like, am I going to kiss her? Am I not? She's like, hey, I just want you to know I had a really good time. She's like, okay, I can kiss you.
Yeah.
That is the green light.
She's like, this is me telling you that I want this, Clark. So
he's like, and he doesn't do it. He ended up backing off. And he's like, yeah, he's really just kind of goofy. And he like kind of stumbles down the stairs. Like, it's very funny.
Yes.
And it's very relatable. And it's great to see him just be a human being. Just enjoying his life for once.
Yes.
The first time in a long, as Lana said, the first time in a long time.
For real.
So this is a kind of a cute effect. Obviously, they use like a stunt double because you can't really see Alicia's face through the blinds of the door. But she's like waving by. And then we just pan up to the top and she's up in a room
already looking
at him, right? Because she can teleport. And then he drives. It's funny. Whenever Clark drives a truck is amusing to me.
But. Yeah.
So then you think, oh, well, okay, what a nice
night.
End.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice, pure, clean, family friendly.
First
didn't even kiss. Right?
Yeah.
So then we got to the Kenton farm. We got Clark's room.
Yeah.
He's asleep. You're like, whoa, we've seen this room like two or three times ever so far in the show, which is funny to think about. The main character's bedroom we never see. But we there's a reason we don't see it, because there's not a lot of action going on in there.
Nope.
Tonight
there is. And so he's sleeping. He looks over, checks his clock, and then knocks it over. And then...
Yeah, because he gets disturbed.
He gets disturbed by Alicia, who's in his bed.
Right.
And
that's why he knocks the clock over.
Exactly,
makes it making a loud sound, which draws the attention of his dad eventually.
Of his dad, eventually, yeah. So he's there, and like Alicia's, you know, in her, I'm just going to say sleepwear. And she starts putting on the seduction. And the funny thing is, I put in my notes, I was like, he's startled, like when he sees who it is, he's like, Alicia. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm surprised he didn't say Lana.
Yeah. Pull a fever. Say Lana?
I know, right? That would have changed the entire course of that scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then she's like, I know you want me, Clark. And then so they start making out.
Yeah, he's kind of like hesitant first.
He's hesitant first, but then he's like, you know what?
Nah. Well, I mean, she's into it.
She's already there.
It is. I like how that's very realistic, right? Because a lot of these times in these cliches, you see like, there we go, 100 speed. And he's like, he really has to kind of ease into it because he knows like, I don't know why she would be doing this, but it's really attractive for all of you both like each other. And there she is in my room. Oh my God. So like that, there's an escalation to it.
Yes.
So they get a little more hot and heavy. And then his dad comes in like, oh, they fell out of bed. So,
commercial.
And then there's just the classic, like they turn and look at him like, hand in the cookie jar look, you know?
Yep.
And then we do cut the commercial and Stern Jonathan. And we come back and Clark's like about to go down the stairs, but he stops.
He's listening to him, like, he and Martha talk.
Jonathan's like, we have rules in this house.
And he's like, you know, it's like procedures and can't be breaking these types of rules and blah, 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 blah. And so he comes down. And
I like the point of view shot. It was almost like the camera shot. There was kind of Clark's point of view, like coming down from the stairs.
Yeah.
That was a nice directorial touch.
That was. And then he's, so Clark has to explain to his parents how Alicia can teleport, number one, and he explains the incident at the Luther Corp. Field trip with his econ class. And you know, in my notes I was just talking about like it's just so funny, he's explained this ridiculous situation to his parents, which in normal circumstances people would just be like, you're so full of it, like that did not happen, but but it's just funny how the cancer just used to these you know, these weird occurrences. I always go back to that, you know, in Homecoming, this is way into the future, but when like future Clark talks to, you know, present day Clark, he's like, we've been through weirder things. Like, he's like, yeah, like, get with it. Like, that's basically kind of what this is.
Yeah. Like, he's like, they're like, okay, Clark, whatever about saving the elevator. What is the girl doing in your room?
Exactly. Yeah.
She's like, she teleported and saved me and blah, blah, blah. But then, of course, Jonathan's like, does she know? How much does she know? Like, what, you know, it's just actually legitimate.
Which is a good question. And he's like, well, she knows about, you know, strength.
And like, okay. And they like, and the heat vision, like, ugh.
Yeah.
And Clark's like, Jonathan's like, about the next thing you're going to tell me, she knows that you're getting stuck around the meteor rocks.
Which is interesting.
Just
it's like,
spell it out.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, it's interesting that that's where you went. Like, you didn't be like, you know, like, and did you mention that you can
see through solid objects?
That you can see through solid objects? That you can run faster than a speeding bullet?
Well, his concern is his safety. So it makes sense. But of course, so they're having this conversation. It's a very good Kent parent conversation. When you don't think about Clark Kent's parents having to have with them.
Correct.
Because, right? You know, on an average day, this isn't happening to Clark, right? I can relate to that. So, I mean, then, not now, of course. So we get this kind of another point of view shot. Of Alicia, I guess she's in like in the pantry or something, like looking at what's going on, you know, or maybe, I don't know where she is.
I don't know.
Staircase.
Yeah, but she has an eye on what's going on. She's eavesdropping on the conversation.
Well, and that's the thing, because Clark's like, she's gone. And they're like, how'd you do that, Clark? Run out the window? Like, no, she teleported. But she's an eavesdropping on this. So just kind of get clarity, because he's like, oh, I really feel like we have a connection. We can really have someone I can really have a relationship with.
You know? Yeah.
She's like, okay. He gets the approval from her. You see her like smile and stuff. But she also hears about
his weakness.
So we can say, you don't like, they kind of drop that seed here and they pick it up later and they kind of over-explain it later, which is fine. We'll talk about that. But I think that's completely in character of this girl.
I agree. So it was just interesting. She's like, she got the validation, I guess, she was looking for, because like, this is something that, like, she feels the same way that Clark does. And so it's just, she's, you know, glad that he's like, that they're on the same page and he's, you know, defending what's, you know, their actions to his parents. She likes that.
So then we cut to school the next day and Clark's walking in the hall and Pete comes up to him and is like, hey man, I know we haven't been on the best of terms lately, but damn bro, that girl is off the chain.
She is on fire.
Yeah, that's what he says. He specifically
it's like
says,
NBA Jam.
Like, oh, we get it. All right. He's like, why didn't you tell me, bro? Like, I can't believe you did that. He's like, oh, well, the only people that knew about that are... He's basically telling him that he knows that his dad walked in on him and Alicia last night.
Yes.
And so he's like, well, the only people who knew that were me, my parents, and Alicia. He's like, well, I guess she's not as big on secrets as you are.
Yep.
And so she's going around telling him, yeah, we got caught. I'm like, what?
Yeah, what, like...
Keep that to yourself.
Exactly.
Because Clark, you know, you're like, this girl is too good to be true, right?
Yes.
She's got power. She's awesome. She's beautiful. She's smart.
She likes me.
Most important factor. But there's something wrong with her, because clearly she's going around, like, you know, telling people his personal business.
Yes.
I don't care. Leave superpowers out of it. You don't be telling people this stuff, right?
Correct.
And he goes into his locker, beats the, and he gets all these pictures of her.
And he's like,
But pause right there. How did she get the pictures inside the locker? Did she teleport inside the locker?
I don't think she did that.
Yeah, well, how did she get the pictures in there?
I don't know.
Yeah, she's not Kitty Pryde. She's Nightcrawler. There are rules.
There are rules, there and those are rules. Different. There are different powers.
But we got, you know, Sarah Carter's, you know, portfolio inside
yes,
of
her
his,
headshots.
Yeah, this is some great headshots. So he closes the locker, and she's there like, ah!
Yeah, it's just like that Tupac meme with him and Omar Epps. I think that's from Juice.
Yeah, I see that's all the time on the internet now.
Yeah, it's first of all, that's a good movie. Mm-hmm. And second of all, that's a great meme.
R.I.P. Tupac.
Yeah.
Or not. You think he's dead?
We're not going down this road.
Tupac? No? Huh?
He's
well,
dead.
We're dead. Okay. Moon landing?
We went to the moon.
We're not going to touch 9/11, so we're going to move on. There's a lot of these jump scares with Alicia, though. Like, ah! And they're actually very effective throughout the episode.
Yes.
It's like, hey, Alicia. It's like, hey, so yeah. She's like, do you like the pictures? She's like, oh, I like them. But maybe we should talk about like boundaries.
Like, slow down.
And she's like, well, we're special, Clark. Boundaries don't apply to us. I'm like, oh, okay, now, okay. All right. This is how it's going to be. Huh?
Yeah. And then she even's like, you know, I'll see you. Like, if a bell rings again,
yeah. Kisses him and is like, see you later, sweetie, or whatever.
He's like, got a pet name.
Yeah. Pet names on day two already. So Clark's like, oh.
Oh, man. I got to. What? I need some
oh
help.
Boy.
And so then we go to the mansion. And
Lex, 21 and a half minutes into the
yes.
episode. Oh, by the way, Lex Luthor is the main character on this show. Lex doesn't have his own subplot in this one. His subplot is fixing Clark and Lana's problems.
Basically, he's the therapist. he's the fix this.
Yeah.
He's that person.
That guy. Yeah. Because, well, it's so funny. Like, what do I do, Lex?
Yeah. And he's like rattling off things. It's like, so she's beautiful. She's smart. She snuck into your room to make out with you.
What's your secret, Clark?
Exactly. He's like, what's the problem here?
And of course, and then you take a line out of context, like, what's your secret, Clark? But now it has a totally different connotation,
yes.
Right? And he's like, so funny, Lex. Which is, this reminds me of, like, season one, Innocent Times, right? They're not talking about caves or stones of power or any of this BS.
Or gangsters with Morgan Edge.
Or mind wipes and amnesia. Yeah. Or, you know, they were just talking about living life with superpowers in high school. And Lex is like, well, obviously something happened between you that gave her this impression. Well, like, what do you think that is? And he doesn't say anything because obviously it's the superpowers thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're answering your question for me.
Yeah. Well, see, he could also just been like, look, we bonded because we narrowly escaped, you know, a thing.
Your dad tried to kill us in his elevator.
Exactly. He could have said something like to that effect.
Well, yeah, but then like Clark is concerned. He's like, well, I didn't want to lead her on, you know. But I think it's weird. Clark, like, he takes such a harsh 180 from this.
Yeah.
And I get she's coming on strong, and that can be a turn off. Like when you're in when you're in the puppy love phase, that's great. You know, like I just don't know. Like I don't. I get the episode needed to be this way, and to have it all in one episode.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been nice to have a little bit more like happiness time pass within like a montage. I don't know. Smallville didn't do montages
not very much,
but. But
it been, yeah, I agree. It would have been better if like some time had went on when they were still in the buddy phase. You know,
instead of me like, whoa, hey.
Yeah, like on the second day of it happening. But granted, her telling the entire school that like she snuck into his room to make out with him.
Look how the rage of street cut there, Clark.
It does. But, you know, Clark doesn't want people to find out that.
Right. That's personal business. So.
Exactly.
So based off the sage wisdom from Lex Luthor, where does Clark go next?
Clark goes to Alicia's parents' house to do some snooping, basically.
I like how her parents are characters.
Yes.
Like, oh my, these high schoolers have parents.
Yeah, what a concept.
And sometimes they come to conflict with their children about their superpowers, you know? So again, very season one, because they're like, maybe these kids should have parents. So yeah, there was some point, like mid-season one, like no parents anymore. No one has parents. But and her parents are very interesting, huh?
Yeah, you could tell, like... You can tell something's up. It's a lot like that, like your Twilight Zone guy, like the episode with the kid with the powers.
Oh yeah, they're like, that's a good thing you just did.
Exactly,
it's a very good thing.
Yeah, Clark, you should just keep going out with her. Yeah. You're her boyfriend.
Because she's like, no, actually, she's like, no, Alicia told us you were his boyfriend.
I would
and
still
the
do
mom's
that.
Like, you know, oh, and the dad's like, when Clark's gonna leave, they're like, hey, there was another guy that Alicia liked. Didn't end well, so just be careful. Right?
Yeah.
So, I like that. I like it was the very small roles here, but very effective.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Clark leaves and so okay, we'll tell Alicia I was looking for. Dad closes the door. Whoa, it's Alicia.
Yep. Which is great, and I love the music every time this happens. Also,
yeah, Mark Stone, like, of
course. Yeah, like there's like some string glisses and like just the very
the jump scares.
Yeah,
the audio and visual.
Yeah, all the scary movie tropes, like they work very well in this episode throughout.
Right. And she's like, you shouldn't have said that, Daddy. You're like, oh, he's a troll.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my gosh. So then we go to back to the school with Chloe?
No.
When does he tell Chloe? Later?
He doesn't tell her later. He doesn't tell her until
later.
What's
next, then?
What's next is he goes, we cut to the Talon, and Lana is talking to Lex.
Oh, Lex solving Lana's other problem.
Yes.
Right? It's just like, Lex. It's like, I'm a billionaire. Why am I doing this? So, yeah, Lana's telling Lex about Adam, and basically that... She's like, well, do you have any other evidence? Like, well, just his journals and his attitude.
Yeah.
That's not going to hold up in a court of law. So she's like, I did all the eviction research, and I was hoping there's something you could do. He's like, there are much faster ways to get rid of someone. You're like, oh, what's Lex going to do? Right?
I know. So that's kind of ominous. And then we cut to the barn, and Clark's, you know, coming home from school, I'm assuming.
That's right.
And he comes in, it's like, and Alicia's there, like, startles him, because he notices that everything's, like, different. She's, like, done some redecorating and
well,
stuff.
No, well, yeah. Everything is kind of redecorated, and she's like, oh, it's more us. But us? There's no us. Never say that.
Us.
Never say that to an unstable woman. There's no us. Never say that. So he picks up his yearbook because it's open.
Yeah.
And Lana's picture's been scratched
out.
Yeah,
it's like it's open to that page. It's like she wanted him to see it.
Right. So we'll take a screenshot of this, too, because it's Lana's message in there. It's like, to the boy next door, who became so much more. I'm like, that's very cute. But when is this? This is season two, I think, based off the yearbook.
Yeah.
So I guess the yearbooks were before he ran off to Metropolis in season two or whatever.
Correct.
But anyway, maybe he got it when he finally came back.
Yeah.
Class rings, yearbooks. God, Clark is frivolous. You know, you guys talking about money all the time.
Yeah. But things cost.
But so by the way, this is a movie plot as an episode.
Yes.
Because it's a Fatal Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Swim Fan, the teenage version of Fatal Attraction, came out a few years later. because I think Glenn Close is a movie similar. Like a picture and like scratches out the mm-hmm. wife or whatever. So Glenn Close, Michael Douglas, an 80s classic or early 90s classic. I'm not sure when exactly.
I think it's in that bridge.
Both members of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, by the way. The head of the Nova Corps. Rest in peace, Nova Corps. I guess Thanos destroyed Xandar, so they're all dead. Mm-hmm. And Ant-Man, the senior.
Hank Pym, the OG.
OG Ant-Man. Best CGI de-aging I've ever seen is Ant-Man. Yep. Not the biggest fan of that one.
But. I know, but I'm really disappointed with one of the things that they decided to do in Ant-Man. So... Ant-Man 2. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Which Ant-Man and the Wasp do you think we're talking about? Both. Oh, it's going to be Godfather 2 style.
Oh!
Going to check yourself while you wreck yourself. Whoa! That's an in-joke Lance and I do whenever we're like, driving in a car.
Yeah.
Making it any turn.
Any turn. Which,
any turn. That I think about it.
Or if we're going over like a hill or something.
It's ridiculous.
It's dumb.
Yeah, it's not Catherine Zeta-Jones. I know you wanted Catherine Zeta-Jones as the
Wasp. That would have been so perfect.
It's Catwoman. It's Michelle Pfeiffer.
I mean, I'm like, yeah, but like, seriously, though, when I saw Ant-Man the first time and like, you know, there's that flashback with Hank Pym as the OG Ant-Man, we have the OG Wasp on that missile and they're trying to disarm it and everything. I'm like, oh, my God.
You don't see her face. Yeah,
you don't see her face. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. If it's Catherine Zeta-Jones, this is going to be the greatest movie in the history of movies.
There's going to be some stunt casting later. And what I think Michelle Pfeiffer is solid. When is Danny DeVito going to show up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? When is Christopher Walken going to show up?
I mean, I like Michelle Pfeiffer, but it's not what I want.
Right. Well, anyway, where were we?
We're at Clark's in the barn.
Yeah, so he's in the loft. So he closes the yearbook and Alicia's there. Ah!
Yeah.
Another jump scare from Alicia. And he's like, oh, I redecorated. It's more us. And that's where he's like, there's no us.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? You can tell, like, there's something wrong with this girl. Like, she has obsession problems. They say obsessed.
Obsessed.
Lana actually says obsessed to Clark when she's telling him that Adam was keeping a journal about things. He's like, he's obsessed with us.
You know, yeah.
Not obsession, so we can't count it, guys, just for the record. I was paying attention. I do know that was it. But this is Clark basically trying to, like, talk her out of this relationship, right?
Yes. And it's not working. And then that's when she gets a... phone call on her flip phone. It's like, oh, that takes me back right there.
And that her dad fell down the stairs. Yes. It was an accident or something. So So let's think about this. What's the timeline here? Like she pushed her dad down the stairs.
She hit her dad in the back of the head.
And then pushed him down the stairs.
Well, she messed him up some kind of way.
Well, I think she definitely did fall down the stairs, but she hit him some more because he was in pretty bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
But was the mom there to see it? I guess so, right?
This was
later that day.
It is. What I'm thinking is she punishes her dad for telling Clark about, you know...
The first guy,
and to watch out about it. And then, so she goes over to the Kents after doing that, but I think she told her mom, you need to call me at this time or something like that,
or
so
I'll
I can do whatever.
You.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Yeah, so
I think she set that whole thing up.
To punish her dad and to get sympathy from Clark.
Correct.
You know, people do this sometimes for sympathy, right? The accidents, whatever, right? Yes. Intentional, unintentional, who's to say? But they go to the hospital. Hospital visit plus one.
Hey-o!
From Mr. Baker. Mr. Carter, was it?
Baker.
Alicia Baker, Sarah Carter. Sarah Baker? Alicia Carter? Anyway. Finding Carter.
Yeah.
On TV. So they go to the hospital, and her dad's in bad shape.
Yeah,
he's got, like,
he looks messed up.
The neck brace, tubes, also the mom's there. She
looks like
upset.
Like Mr. Incredible's boss.
Yeah. He looked like Stephen King to me.
He did.
Yeah. So, gosh.
Every employee is like a cog.
By the way,
go see Incredibles 2, everybody.
In theaters now. So then Alicia's Sheriff Adams.
Yes.
Sheriff Adams shows up. And she's like, oh, Miss Baker, yeah, we're with you. And I will say, throughout watching this rewatch, I do like Sheriff Adams.
Yeah.
When I first watched, she was just so annoying.
I always liked Sheriff Adams.
Ain't that a mother?
That was so funny.
So I am team Sheriff Adams now. She's won me over with this. Is her commentary is and her cartoon character of Sheriff, as Perry White has described her, has won me over. So there's like some blunt force trauma to her dad's head, right? So she's suspicious about that, and she's like, "Anyone you think might have wanted to harm your dad?" She's like, "Oh," she starts doing her whole act. I'm like, "Oh, crying and hugging Clark and all that. And so then they kind of go around the corner, and Clark's like, hey,
what'd you do to your dad?
I need you to tell me you had nothing to do with it. She's like, how could you ask me that? Well, because he got, what, he was found in the basement with the lock from the inside?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Was that to kind of keep him down there?
Yeah, I think so.
So I guess the mom like got him out of. See, that's what I'm saying. Like she trapped him in there, beat the crap out of him, and the mom like broke the door to get him out of there. I get, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so
that's true. I forgot about that little detail.
So that was a crucial mistake, and she just threw him down the stairs and kicked him a few times. Right?
Yeah.
There wouldn't be that smoking gun of hey, oh god, I'm trapped in a locked basement. Because
mm-hmm.
Clark's like, well, I don't know who else could have done that but you.
Yeah.
And she comes
out of her act.
Yeah, she's like, oh.
Yeah.
which is good, which is how these people work. Right?
Yes.
She, I guess sociopath would be the name for her, you know?
Yeah.
More than psychopath. I know there's some definition of the two that explains it. It's like, I know an alligator and a crocodile, it's like an explanation like that. I'm not sure what is which. But she teleports away. Clark's like, you need to turn yourself in. She teleports away.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not doing that.
And this is when he goes and tells Chloe.
Yes. And
you went all clean clothes.
Yeah,
on
she had to say
fatal
it.
Fatal Attraction style. Yeah.
And so they come up with a plan to try and get Alicia to confess. Basically,
well, the reason they know what to do is because when he was talking to the parents, mm-hmm. The dad, again, the more forthcoming of the two. Was like Clark's like, so Alicia said once that you were able to keep her like keep her contained or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we made a special room and she didn't like that very much, and she told us she'd be nice with her powers if we let her out.
Yeah.
And then he does an X-ray around the house and he sees, oh, there's lead. I can't see this room, so that's why. You know, again, it's deductive reasoning and all that. So.
Yeah.
So he sends Chloe to go to Alicia's house to tell Alicia that the sheriff thinks Clark beat up her dad because they wouldn't let him be together. She's like, "Oh, your boyfriend Clark's in."
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, that's very good.
Yeah,
that's
she was on point the entire time.
So, she's like, "Where's Clark now?" So she goes to where Clark is, and I don't know where he is.
Yeah,
somewhere. It's like, is she below the school? Is he? So he's just in the boiler room somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah.
And you just don't know where exactly. And it's like, okay, well, whatever.
Well, because like the impression was like he's hiding out to try and get like from the cops so he doesn't get caught.
And I get why they pick this place, because like, okay, where can we go paint a room with lead paint?
Yeah,
and not get in trouble or no one can care.
Yeah.
By the way, lead paint, right? How is that readily available?
I have no idea.
Smallville, I guess. Get with the times, Smallville.
Or Lex had some lying around.
Who knows? But you know what was the episode of Shimmer? Where he kicks the paint over the guy? I wonder if that was lead-based paint.
I don't know. That's a good question.
So Clark throwing paint on people. So they meet up. Okay, so they meet up at this place, wherever this place is.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Alicia, yeah, they're after me. You got to tell him. You got to tell him that you did it. And she's like, no, I can't do that. And he's like, oh. So he wasn't going to do this to her. He gave her another opportunity to come.
He gave her an out.
So Superman, right? Always find the better way, but he'll break your neck if he has to.
That's correct.
But he's going to try to not to first. So she's like, no, we'll just disappear. We'll run away together. He's like, okay, well, hey, we'll just come with me real quick in this lead-painted room.
Yeah.
Because she's real, I don't know how she detects it's lead. I mean, I guess it's really suspicious. You walk in this room, everything is painted.
Uh-huh.
They left the paint can. Which
there.
Is, you know, well, it plays into things later.
Yes.
But yeah, even like the chair it's on is painted. What, you going to take the chair?
Who knows?
But it's all red.
Yeah.
How could you do this to me? You know, and he's like, look, Alicia, you need help. You need to turn yourself in.
Yeah.
You know, and then she pulls out some kryptonite on him, and she's like, I didn't want to do to this, Clark, but you broke the rules first.
Yep.
Like, broke the rules. I love just this entire just scenario. Like, it's so interesting to think about what she thinks about all this.
Yeah.
But it's like that's such a crazy girl thing to say. Like, you broke the rules first. Yeah, so and even then she's like, oh, well, maybe we can be together later, and kisses him and leaves, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, please, and writhing on the floor here.
Yeah.
So
it's like, you know, it's neat that she hit, like, you know, because she was paying attention.
She was smart,
and she got, you know, some kryptonite, or meteor rock.
Which,
you know, kudos to Jonathan for not saying kryptonite.
Crypto what?
Exactly, because that would have been really interesting.
And this is another thing, I'll just bring it up here, right? She says, I overheard your parents talking, right? I'm like, okay, we didn't need that, but I appreciate the over-explanation to connect the dots. As opposed to season 4, when she comes back, she has red kryptonite No explanation. Yeah. She gives him a red kryptonite necklace, and he's like, how'd you know about the red meteor rock? She's like, I know everything about you, Clark. I'm like, that's not an answer.
Yeah.
I demand answers.
Agreed.
We talking to Pete? So, Mark Verheiden, one of the writers on the show, had this to say about the use of kryptonite here and how Clark gets out of it.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so he's writhing there on the floor, mm-hmm. right? And he kicks over the paint onto the kryptonite, and it's covered in lead. I'm like, that is genius.
Yeah, that was cool.
Because he knows not to use his heat vision because he doesn't want to go blind again. Yeah. So, although, if I were him, I'd be like, well, life or death, I can try to zap this with my heat vision, go blind for, I don't know, a day, wave a torch in front of my eyes, and be back to normal. So I would say, Clark, next time in that situation, use the heat vision. But Mark Verheiden did this to say, this was actually an idea that, well, here's the quote.
Okay.
It was an idea I came up with for that moment in Visage. There would be some old lead paint in the cellar. They don't make it here in the United States anymore, so it would have to be quite old. Plot hole for this episode, but that's okay. He continues. And Clark would then kick it over the kryptonite, which would allow him to get out and save himself. It changed and became the ship saving him, but the paint thing came from there.
Okay.
That episode, that would have been a lot better. Because I don't like the complete nonsensical use of the ship starting in the middle of season two. Like, it turns on and it just deletes kryptonite, and then it turns back off.
It's the Deus Ex ship.
And it healed Martha and raised the dead. Yeah. like, you know what I'm saying? So it became what Jor-El became.
Yeah.
I wish they hadn't blown it up either.
I agree.
Where are we going to find a kryptonite key? So I thought that was interesting. Now he literally points out, like, well, yeah, they don't sell it anywhere now, so it'd have to be really old. Well, then where did they get? Yeah. Is that, did they just go down the storm cellar, find the first red paint?
Maybe
so. We just pulled the Nick Ryan Mendoza. We justified for Nick. Here you go for you, Nick.
Shout to you, Nick.
Nick has been a busy guy. He's not been on the episode. He's got a lot going on in his life, and good things are happening for him. So he hasn't had a lot of time to be on the podcast, but he'll be back probably for mailback or something sometime. But anyway,
follow that dude on Instagram.
That is what he does. Is he writes, he justifies things for the writers. So that we just pulled the Nick Ryan Mendoza there. So meanwhile, Alicia has gone off to kill Lana.
Yeah.
With the fakest looking knife I've ever
seen. It looks like cardboard that's been painted gray.
it's like could you at least get like wood or something?
Like a better...
A dull gray. Not even like a metallic gray.
Yeah, see, it looks like... Actually, you know what it looks like? It looks like those Power Ranger weapons, like from the early seasons. Like, it's like so like foamy looking, mm-hmm. and like the opposite of sharp. Like,
This
is so a prop.
Alicia, this is a... This is a Fisher Price knife.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand.
Yes, I agree.
This, but like, you know, usually they have some decent props around.
Yes.
Like, newsflash, when people are fighting with swords, those are all rubber or wood or something, and they put a sheen on it.
Yes.
This was like, they literally just put that, they spray paint it, like 5 minutes later, they hand it to Sarah Carter. It was like, here.
This is terrible.
So, she's like, what is it Clark sees in you? You're not as pretty as me. You're certainly not as smart as me.
It's like, dang.
it's like as good as the physical cat fight Chloe and Lana had the other episode. And Delete, this is like a verbal cat fight. It's just as good, Alicia and Lana. And I mean, she just had the superiority complex, you know. And she does. Buy it. You know, you buy it from her character.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, like, everything's been like very, like, very well put together for her this episode. Like, you get all the lead up to this point and all makes sense.
Exactly, because in so many episodes and these kids go crazy, you're like, really? Like, we're gonna start killing people now?
Yeah.
Right? But this one, no, she, yeah, this makes sense. Yes. Like, so a lot of the contrivances that made me mad in all these other episodes, like, it's part of the character. And that's why, like, I'm not just making excuses because she's a cute girl, right? I'm making excuses because they wrote the character very well and it all makes sense. Because it's common knowledge around Smallwood that Clark's in love with Lana.
Yes.
So she, of course, fixates on Lana and, like, figure, okay, well, that's the problem. If I get rid of Lana, then Clark will love me.
Yes.
So that's like, kill the girl he loves. That will do it. So she's like, oh, he told me all about his secret, things he never told you. Yep. And of course, she's got to drop that. Right?
Of course.
And then I guess it's when Lana tries to fight back a little bit. And then Alicia throws her into one of these Egyptian pillars. Of course,
yes, in the Talon.
And knocks her out. So we got a plus one for a knockout to keep Clark's secret.
KO!
Because then Clark super speeds there. I don't know exactly how he knew where to find both of them, you know?
I don't know.
But
well, his natural instinct is to go where Lana
go to the Talon. So that is a little bit of a contrivance there. But then he shows up, and this is a cold-blooded move. He has the can of paint.
Oh, yeah.
And he throws it at her. And then he uses heat vision to blow it up at her. Mm-hmm. And then it, like, gets all over her, and it's like,
Yes.
Like, forget my powers, my eyes.
I know. That's what exactly what I was thinking.
Lead-based paint. Ugh. She's going to get cancer now, Clark. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and blind, like, as well. Like, ugh.
You just wave a blowtorch in front of you. You'll be
fine.
That's
true. That's true. But yeah, but it looks like she looks like Carrie.
Yeah, yeah, from the Stephen King, yeah. Because it's red, so she's covered in blood.
Yeah.
So it's very effective and it's kind of a horror movie-esque kind of episode here. You know, suspense horror kind of episode this is.
Yeah, but the weird thing is this is the last we see of Alicia for the rest of the episode.
I figured there'd be some kind of wrap-up, some like, oh, she escaped from...
wherever.
Right? Or like, oh, hey, you just got the whatever. But yeah, that's it. Well, and then who's going to clean that paint? Yeah, you know, and then of course Lana wakes up right then. He's like, yeah. Lana, like, you have to say that right in front of her. Poor girl's been through enough,
mm-hmm.
right? But that's all they have to say about that. But I assume at this point, you know, they arrest her for assault on her father or whatever, and you know, we get some follow up with her in season 4, obviously. But what if we hadn't gotten Neva?
Agreed.
Like,
yeah,
what is this great guest star? You just write her off like that. Like,
I know,
because they've backloaded the episode with like the Lana Adam plot.
Yes.
So like the rest of the wrap up is kind of about that. You're like, oh, I was enjoying the rest of this so
much,
and we just went back to that. So she just kind of left there covered in paint, and it's like, how are you going to get this paint out?
Mm-hmm.
Clark, explain to me what was this? What did we just see here?
Yeah,
if I was Lana, but. Is it the next scene at the Kent farm when Lana comes to visit him?
Yes.
So she comes to visit him, and you're like, oh, back to this.
Yep.
The rest of this episode was so refreshing, but now we have this.
Yeah, but now is this. It's interesting. Like, so we have she comes over, and it's interesting. We don't have a barn loft scene. She comes to the front door, which I think that's a first. And she comes in and she's only there because like she shows up and you're thinking, oh, maybe they're gonna like, you know, try and be friends again. But no, she was really there just to ask, you know, some questions about Alicia. She's like, well, she told me that, you know, you told her things and that you had never told me. Is that true? And Clark is just like, well,
she said a lot of crazy things.
A lot of crazy things.
So good. She's like, well, she also said you were still in love with me. Was that crazy too? And he's like, right.
Right. And then it's awkward for a second.
And then Martha comes up.
And
she's
then
Lana.
The ultimate Klana shipper.
Martha can't.
She's like, want to stay for dinner?
No,
like,
I
Mom,
I
stop it.
Can't. And then she leaves. It's like, Mom, stop. Stop this. Always inviting people to stay for dinner. Oh, earlier
Alicia
had come over.
Exactly.
Yeah, popped in, you know. So, yeah, Lana leaves. And Chris's like, get this, like, slow door closing.
Oh, yeah.
And then Martha's like, don't worry, Clark. One day you meet the right person for you. And she's like, well, you know, I just, you know, it was just Alicia. She was like me. And she's like, oh, there's no one like you. I'm like, ugh.
Uh-huh.
Don't worry. Maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe some Kryptonian girl will come out of nowhere in the season finale and you'll want to go off with her.
Probably. Maybe.
Anyway. Like, she's trying to be, like, encouraging, but it's like,
it's
no. That's the problem.
Yes.
There's no one like me. So, anyway. But like we said, they kind of backload the episode with like, oh, we got to wrap up this Lana and Adam plot, right? So Lana goes to the Talon and it's empty.
The apartment.
Yeah, the Talon apartment, right?
Yeah.
And and she's looking at her, it's like, Adam? And then it's like, Lex is there. And it's another like jump scare. I'm like, okay, enough of that. No one's teleporting anymore. We can stop that now. He's like, oh, yeah, they told me you're up here. Yeah. And Lana's like, oh, well, thanks so much for, I didn't know what I was going to do, but thanks for taking care of Adam. He's like, well, I'd love to take the credit, but my people can't find him. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
And you're like,
what happened here?
And then we cut to secret lab.
Yep. Secret lab corridor.
With like, this is early 33.1. Right?
Yeah.
Or what is level three. Lionel calls it. Right?
Yeah.
Because Lex is 33.1. So it's like rats and cages and all this stuff. And at the end of this long walkway is Adam strapped to this chair. And he's like really starting to like decompose some, like he looked before when he was struggling the other episode and he takes his medicine. He's like, oh, please, medicine, right? And Dr. Ting shows up. He's like, oh, she's 2 time in the Luthers. This is not going to end well for you.
Because
Lex had her fired and hired her for himself last episode. But she's still working for Lionel.
Yep.
Which we established way back in Phoenix. Phoenix, so good. Just knock the microphone. We're going to leave that in. I think they're like a bird thing for the Phoenix there. Dark Phoenix, not interested, right? X-Men.
Oh, I'm not either.
No.
I mean, because they're just going to mess it up.
Like, Apocalypse already messed it up. thank God Logan was so good because that kind of redeemed it. Why do we have to go back to another bad X-Men movie?
Just if you want like Phoenix stuff, just read the 80s Claremont stuff and then
watch the animated series
yeah. season 2.
Or watch X-Men The Last Stand by Brett Ratner.
Do not watch the X-Men
The
Last
Stand. It's not the worst X-Men movie.
It's not, but it's still not good.
Apocalypse and X-Men Origins are worse.
Again, and it's not the worst, but it's still not good.
Own all of them on Blu-ray. So anyway, this Dr. Ting established back in Phoenix, so good continuity there. She was in Velocity, and now she's in this one, and she's in one more episode before she makes a bad end from screwing with the Luthers.
Oh.
So she's like, oh, here's his medicine, and Lionel's like, you won't be needing that. Because he's like, what did I send you for Smallville for? To become Lana Lang's best friend and learn everything she knew about Clark Kent, but instead, you've alienated her completely. You're like, damn. So he's not Batman, I guess.
Nope, I guess not.
Unless you know, he was traveling the world, Lionel snatched him. No, we're kidding. He's not Batman. It's done. It's over.
Now he's dead man.
But he's dead. People thought he might have been dead man.
I know.
You know, because he's already dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dead man voiced by Michael Rosenbaum.
Hey. Boston Brand.
In JLU and stuff like that.
He had a good episode.
When is he going to show up on Legends of Tomorrow?
at this point, it's only a matter of time.
Played by Michael Rosenbaum.
That'd be amazing.
Right? Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Anyway. Tom Welling can be Blue Beetle. So, or Booster Gold.
Booster Gold, yes! He should be Booster Gold.
God's sake. So.
Squeaky wheel.
Squeaky wheel. Only one stretchy guy. They already got a long-legged man on The Flash. Where's the greatest story never told.
That was a good episode.
That is a tangent, I'm sorry. But anyway, this is a great scene.
Yes.
Right? Because, we know, established now. It's not Bruce Wayne, even though it was fun, even joking about it in this episode.
Yes.
There was some very Bruce Wayne things going on. But he's a Chad Nash. What a stupid, silly pseudonym, Chad. And I would change my name to Adam Knight, too.
No
my name
joke.
Was Chad. It's like, if I died, I was like, this is my chance. I can rename myself. I guess he was a big Batman fan.
I guess.
This 27 shirt, get out of here. Chad. Chad. Of course his name is Chad. Chad.
It's Chad.
So, you know, Lionel pretty much, you know, explains who Adam was, where he came from, or why he was there, and then he's fired, basically. Didn't you get the memo? You're fired.
You are done, son.
You are done.
You are done.
And then he walks away, and he just, you know, casually takes his gloves off and walks away down the hallway.
And Dr. Ting's like,
well. What is that? He's like, oh, I don't need that. So he's like, oh, the medicine. And they just walk off, and he's like, help, help. And they close the door. The lights slowly turn off. And then you're do 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 because this is like the most X-Files ending the show's ever had. And I thought, I remember watching it back in 04. I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's a hardcore ending to this character.
Yeah.
Well done. I know you're not going to F it up by bringing back some stupid time travel plot episode in a couple episodes. But really, this should have been his final scene.
Agreed, because it's so cool. Like, when else are they going to have an opportunity to do something like that? You know?
Batman. Hey, Michael, Kane, Mr. Kane, will you grow a mustache for your role as Alfred? Okay, then. So, you think to yourself, you look on the DVDs, right? And you're like, there's a deleted scene. I bet this is a wrap-up scene with Alicia of some kind, right? It's not. It's another scene with Adam.
Yep.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, Ian Somerhalder was only in this episode for these two very brief scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So, it makes sense he would have a third one. So, it actually is interesting. It shows him taping this journal to the back of a dumpster, which I assume like Lionel's people came and picked up every week or whatever. Interesting. And then like this car shows up and
two Teamsters get out.
Yeah. And you wonder, like, what is this? Like,
Are they his handlers? Are they the people that come to like brief
him? Right. Are they those people? But no, they come out and they're like, pull out some weapons. Like, so he starts running down the famous back alley of the town where so much action occurs.
Yep.
And in the context of the episode, it must have been like kind of, in the, like the last third, right?
Yeah.
After Lex said he would take care of it, right? So you could have you would have assumed that Lex is taking care of it.
Yes.
Right? And then the reveal at the end with Lex, like, oh, I don't know what happened.
Yep.
And you're like, is he lying? Is he not? And then the Lionel thing is like, oh, it was Lionel. So I understand why this scene existed. It's a good scene, but if you had to cut one, this would be the one to cut.
It was.
Because then he gets shot by a tranquilizer, and then we do.
He's got a dart in your neck.
Dart in your neck, man.
I like you.
Crazy, man.
You're crazy.
Crazy. Crazy man. Old school.
Old school,
tying it all together.
It is.
Crazy man. Partner dick. Oh, my. I will say that until the day I die.
Same.
Whenever I hear it, see anything about tranquilizer darts.
Yep. That's the first thing I go to.
Toxic dot. That's the other thing I go to.
Oh, God.
Talking about flip phones, I used to have a flip phone with an antenna that unscrewed,
mm-hmm.
and this was around the time Attack of the Clones came out, so I was sitting in, like, band.
Yeah.
I would always pull out, I'm like, Toxic Dot. Because, yep, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you got to quote him, right?
Yep. Attack of the Clones. Oh,
possibly.
My God. Possibly.
Anyway.
Hello, Dex.
Oh, God. So that. Is that this episode again? Obsession.
Obsession.
It's Obsession. She sits beside
her, stares out across the world. Clark, honey. Someday you'll find the person who's right for you.
You know, for a while I thought that person was Lana, but I could never be honest with her. And then I thought it was Alicia because she was like me. But...
Well, sweetheart, there's nobody like you. You're...
Maybe that means I'll always be alone.
Obsession got an 8.7 out of 10 on IMDb, which is a relatively high score.
It is.
And deservedly so, I'd say.
I agree.
New Bailey from the Superman homepage wasn't that big a fan. Only gave it a 3.5 out of 5. So let's ask you, on the letter grade scale we have here on Always Hold On to Smallville, what do you give Obsession?
I give it an A. Solid A. I really like this episode because I love the character of Alicia Baker. She's an all-time favorite character of mine, and I think that they should have kept her around longer. Like, she could have been, she had the potential to be Clark's Catwoman, like his Selina, like Clark Kent, Selina Kyle.
His tin to Terry McGinnis' back.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, because like she, like his Clark, as far as like the, you know, the, with some of the people in his life, he's not really challenged by any of them, especially like, you know, any of the women in his life. He's not challenged by them in that way. And that's why he had that attraction to her, is because she was kind of challenging. And so, and I love that dynamic, the same way that, like, you know, that Ten challenged Terry, or the same way that Selina challenges Bruce, that same type of, that's why those two work together. And so I think she had the potential to be that for Clark for this show, especially, you know, like, to, you know, get his mind off of Lana eventually, but and maybe, you know, have caused some trouble down the road with Lois. You never know, but I think that they could have used her more.
Well, I think they could have kept her around as a good guy, and then slowly maybe turned her crazy.
Yeah.
Like, plan this out, you know. But if this was like 2 or 3 years later, they might have done that. But they were still a little more in that middle ground between episodic and arc-based TV.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, well, we got a good guest star here. Let's use her, and then maybe we'll bring her back later, maybe not. But I definitely think it would have been nice to see more of that romance honeymoon period.
Yeah, I agree.
With them before she went just completely psycho. So.
Yeah, because I mean, having her there and being not part of the group, like, you know, like the
extra characters, please.
Exactly.
Age appropriate. I don't want Jason Teague up.
Exactly.
And stuff in
but
here.
Like, but it just, it's a whole new dynamic, especially like, you know, that to introduce to, you know, the Clark, Pete, Lana, Chloe,
Pete,
group.
Excuse me, Pete.
Yes. I'm including
this Pete
him.
Character. Is it that guy that had that one scene?
It's Clark's best friend.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Not today, Pete.
Exactly. And then also another funny observation I made. It's like, it kind of, like, since I know you as well as I do, I could say this. It kind of reminds me of like some of your romantic past in a way.
Is this where we're going?
A little
is this
bit.
Where we're
yeah.
going with? Well, I did not know this,
you're,
listeners.
You're the one that, like, you know, bases your life off of Smallville.
Smallville bases its life off me. All right, let's get this straight.
That's true. So,
but, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So, like, when I was seeing this, I was like, well, you have had an Alicia in your past. Not as crazy.
You heard it here first.
But you have had an Alicia in your past.
Unsolicited. My life is Smallville.
You have had a Chloe. Mm-hmm. you have had a Lana.
Lots of Lanas.
Lots of Lanas.
Well, thank you for that breakdown of my personal life.
You're welcome.
Don't you, Alicia, over here telling people my personal business all around the school? So, anyway. So
I'm Pete. I'm telling you what's up.
A for you. I'm also going to give this episode an A. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a good episode.
I mean, I'd always be like, okay, I remember this one being good. But I, like, actually really enjoyed it. And I think all the contrivances were allowed, like, She was just a little off, you know, and that's why she went to these crazy depths she did. A little weak on her explanation of getting her powers.
Yeah.
Like, she, like, a meteor, like, hit by where she was, and then she woke up somewhere else, and that was her power.
Well, maybe it's because she was moving from one place to another, because she was on a swing.
Yeah, she did say she was on a swing. I thought about that. I'm like, is that their attempt to explain?
I think it is.
She was on a swing. That's terrible. Anyway, yeah, that's probably the weakest part. And then backloading all the Lana and Adam stuff. Very strong ending from that. And then also just really, Clark was very kind of assertive and proactive in this episode as well, which I always love to see. So I'm going to give this an A as well. This is a really enjoyable, just as a little isolated piece. And you get to see him being happy for a change because, this is a pretty dark season, probably one of Smallville's darkest seasons.
I agree.
A little half episode of happiness for all Fatal Attraction. So Speaking of, let's get to the tally board.
Let's do it.
We have a hospital visit plus one for Alicia's dad. That brings us up to 41.
Cool.
So far. We have a knockout to keep Clark's secret plus one for Lana before he comes in and saves her.
Mm-hmm.
That brings us to 17. And then we have a plus one for movie plot as an episode for Fatal Attraction, which is a 5. So that's our tally board there.
Cool.
And then finally, Bechdel test is a fail.
F for fail.
Unfortunately. Alicia, being the Clark-obsessed person she is, only talked about Clark with all the girls she interacted
with. That's correct.
So... that's all she wrote on the Bechdel test this week. But yeah, Helen, so this was a lot of fun watching the episode together, talking about it here in person. This is fun to do it this way, too. So I'm glad every now and then I get an opportunity to do it this way with folks. And that is an open invitation for most of you. I think the ones who isn't, you know who you are. So, so Lance, if people want to find you online, where can they find you?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on Twitter.
Is that it?
It's the same for Instagram also.
All right, Instagram. Got to gram it.
I do have a gram.
As the kids say these days. All righty. As for me, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreonZach. I'm also the host of another podcast called Standard Orbit on the Trek FM network. We talk about all things old and new, Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. And as for the podcast itself, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville. You can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. That's going to do it for this week on Always Holding the Smallville. We'll be back next time talking about Resurrection.
Hey-o.
Sequel to Halloween H2O. John Q. That's what we're talking about next week.
Oh, yeah, that
is. This is the string of movie classes and episodes. It's so many. And it could have dated back to Hereafter, but I mean, I think that's really not fair because that whole seeing the future thing. But if you really wanted to, you could say we're going to have four in a row, maybe more. We'll see.
Maybe.
But yes, next week is Resurrection. With an early appearance by the guy from Prototype, Lois's ex-boyfriend, who is the Phantom soldier guy from Battlestar Galactica. This is his first appearance on Smallville as a dead brother who gets resurrected. But we'll save all that talk for next week.
Excellent.
We talk about Hereafter, but until then, not Hereafter, Resurrection. Interchangeable titles. but until then, always hold on to Smallville. If I traded it all, if I gave it all away for one thing, just for one thing, if I sorted it out, if I knew all about this one thing, wouldn't that be something? If I traded it all, if I gave it all away for one thing, just for one thing, if I sorted it out, if I knew all about